people know that it has been the mercenaries of Al-Qaeda brought from several parts, you know, financed with mainly Saudi Arabian money, have raised, have manipulated what many people believe to be spontaneous movement.
Con i soldi americani ed europei si stanno armando i ribelli. Chi è che fabbrica queste bombe? Si dicono, dice che Al-Qaeda è Al-Qaeda, ma Al-Qaeda non esiste. Al-Qaeda sono i servizi segreti occidentali.
C'è assolutamente pas che ce qu'on dit. On dit che è un dittatore sanguinaire che tira sur son peuple. C'est totalement faux. Il tira sur des gens, il tira eux-mêmes sur le peuple e qui veulent le renverser.
Close and personal. You don't get better ringside seats than this. This is the Israeli-Syrian border, and it's now also the latest Israeli tourist attraction.
It feels good to be able to get close to it a little bit, and besides seeing only the items on television.
There is an attraction to see the thing that actually occupies the media now. It's like you feel you are in the center of stuff.
Here in the border, we feel the real fighting in Syria, and you can hear the mortars falling. Here, we are 1 kilometer from the border.
They attacked Iraq. We supported Iraq because it was a war against the country and its people. We supported the Iraqi people, just as we are supporting the Syrian people now.
Comme nous soutenons le peuple syrien, parce que le peuple syrien est également attaqué par des forces.
Because the Syrians are being attacked by aggressive forces like the US, the UK, France, Israel, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. Qatar is Israel's biggest ally in the Arab world today. Our number is small, though. There are a few people from France who support Syria, because France is one of the main supporters of the Syrian war. We are trying to stop this new colonization with the help of the Syrians living in France.
Nous, nous sommes quelques-uns à nous mobiliser avec les Syriens de France pour dire non, nous ne voulons pas de cette nouvelle colonisation.
Syria was anti-Israel during Hafez al-Assad's tenure and has continued this policy under his son and successor, Bashar. Since 2000, the U.S. continued its relationship with Syria based on two apparently different policies. Its goal was turning Syria into an ally in order to reduce its power of opposition in the region. In 2004, a few months after the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, George Bush cut all political ties with Syria on charges of supporting terrorism and recalled the U.S. ambassador to Damascus. He also started threatening Iran and Syria in order to force Damascus to retreat from its position. The assassination of Rafiq al-Hariri in Lebanon, in which Syria was the main suspect, and the withdrawal of Syrian troops from Lebanon are a few examples of the increasing pressure on Syria. Meanwhile, the neocons in the White House kept threatening Syria with military action until the end of Bush's tenure.
Donc en Syrie, on assiste à une volonté américaine de renverser un régime.
The US dislikes the Syrian government and wants its downfall. The main goal is applying pressure on Iran, because Iran is one of Syria's allies. Another goal is putting Hezbollah, another Syrian ally, under pressure. We need to see everything as it is. There is no need to cover things up in the name of freedom. We shouldn't forget that as soon as the unrest began, Bashar al-Assad started reforms that were unprecedented in the Middle East, a new constitution. Before I talk about the constitution, let me say that last summer, Bashar al-Assad passed some legislation for the spread of liberalism and promoting the quality of life, prosperity, culture, freedom of the press, and etc.
L'été dernier, il a lancé un nombre de décrets libéralisant la vie politique, la vie économique, la vie culturelle, le droit de la presse.
When Obama came to power, U.S. behavior toward Syria underwent a tactical change, but it still followed the same goal, which was to get Syria away from regional resistance and closer to the U.S. and Israel. While Obama called for more interaction with Syria, he asked Israeli officials to prepare the ground for talks. His aim was to find common ground between those two and strike up an agreement between them. Jewish U.S. Senator Arlen Specter's visit to Syria on July 8, 2010 was done in that framework. Announcing the visit, Ashar al-Awsat called Specter a mediator between Syria and Israel. About 2 months before Specter's trip to Syria, the country's president had acknowledged in an interview with the Lebanese newspaper An-Nahar that his country would continue supporting Hamas and Hezbollah in spite of U.S. opposition. About 3 months after Specter's trip to Damascus, Bashar al-Assad visited Tehran and said, "We are going to continue down the same path that Hafez Assad and Imam Khomeini did."
Il a décidé des élections législatives sur une base nouvelle, avec une transparence et une liberté de présentation des candidats.
He decided to hold the parliamentary elections ahead of time and under new and better circumstances, and let anyone from any political party become a candidate. The elections were held last December and showed good results, and new people were elected by people. If my memory serves me right, he proposed a new constitution to the Syrian people in March to complete the reforms, a completely democratic law that took the edge off the Baath party and opened the door to other Syrian parties.
La suprématie du parti Baath et qui ouvre la porte à tous les partis en Syrie.
Syria is the only Arab country that has no relations with Israel following the war and refuses to recognize it. Furthermore, it has always been a good host for the offices and members of Hamas and Hezbollah after the closure of the Hamas office in Jordan. Such positions have turned Syria into an axis of resistance and given it a good standing in the region, especially among the Arab nations. Such an achievement is in direct contrast to the interests and desires of the United States.
Il a proposé ça. Ça a été adopté avec une participation de 65% de la population.
Bashar al-Assad suggested the new constitution, which was accepted. 65% of the Syrian people supported it, which shows their deep desire for change. About 90% of them approved the new constitution. Afterwards, democracy, freedom of speech, the establishment of different political parties, and freedom of the press came into being. No one talks about these developments. The only thing that we hear is that Bashar needs to be taken down.
En Syrie, mais personne n'en parle. On dit qu'il faut renverser un dictateur qui tire sur son peuple. C'est la présentation qui est faite en Occident.
Il presidente Obama, a proposito di lui, prima della guerra vera e propria contro la Libia.
Before the full-fledged war with Libya in 2011, President Obama gave a presidential order. Such an order in the US is in fact the government's official position and of the highest order. This is what it said. The Libyan government is a threat against the US national security and economic interests.
È una minaccia per la sicurezza nazionale degli Stati Uniti d'America e per i suoi interessi economici.
Today, I authorize the armed forces of the United States to begin a limited military action in Libya in support of an international effort to protect Libyan civilians.
Un mese dopo, il presidente degli Stati Uniti ha emesso un altro presidential order.
One month later, the US president announced another presidential order and said the same thing about Syria. The Syrian government is a threat against the US national security and economic interests, period. These two statements were similar. What does it mean? It means after the Libyan war, the Syrian war would come.
Cosa significa? Significa che dopo la guerra contro la Libia ci sarà la guerra contro la Siria.
La crise syrienne,
the Syrian crisis is another indicator of what we have been saying for so long. The main goal is not bringing democracy for the Syrian people. The main goal is overthrowing a regime that the US and Israel dislike. That's because Syria would not work to the benefit of the US in the region. They use a very credible and effective method to realize this goal, using people who only sought more freedom.
Des ambitions américaines dans la région. Donc, on a utilisé initialement une révolte authentique de gens qui voulaient simplement plus de liberté, plus de démocratie.
Following the recent unrest in Syria, which followed the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt and the uprisings in Yemen, Jordan, and Bahrain, Bashar al-Assad called Syria a stable country with a popular government in his speeches and his statements.
Those who place their bets on weakening Syria to forget Golan and its occupied lands are mistaken. Golan is ours and Palestine is our cause that we won't give up on. We will remain the supporters of resistance against the one enemy. Resistance is a culture, not individuals. It is an outlook, not giving up and losing opportunities.
Also in his speeches and interviews, Assad viewed Syria's opposition to the US and Israel as its strong point.
Barak is just like Bush and has started a new war just like him. He also continues Bush's wars. He continued the Afghanistan war and started the war against Libya. He nudged France and Britain forward and acted like their leader. And now he's going against Syria.
In Syria, the mass media, the corrupted mass media, want to implement, to put, make in a scenario, a panorama of a repetition of what happened in Libya, the terrible genocide that NATO has made in Libya. No, by killing, they say, close to 200,000 people in a few months and raped more than 5,000 women and girls, you know, in Libya. That's horrible because, I mean, interested people and know that it has been the mercenaries of Al-Qaeda brought from several parts, you know, and financed with mainly Saudi Arabian money and with the help and the implementation and the assistance of parts of the CIA, Mossad, and MI5 British, who in a I would say, easy way and with not much money, can raise, have raised, have manipulated what many people believe to be spontaneous movements.
We are the members of the Al-Farouq group, and we have destroyed the local hospital in which Assad soldiers were hospitalized.
Il y a eu des manifestations pour réclamer plus de liberté.
Yes, there were some demonstrations calling for more freedom. Suppressing them increased dissatisfaction. That's when Saudi Arabia and Qatar started to provide extremist terrorists with finance and military training. They encouraged them to provoke the demonstrators who were only asking for a bit more freedom. Thus, they succeeded in creating chaos and turning a demonstration for more freedom into an uprising aimed at regime change. Many European countries also took part in this bedlam. French Foreign Minister Alain Juppé kept saying that Bashar had to be taken out because he was against giving freedom to his own people. He pretends to be ignorant of the fact that those trained and supported terrorists are the ones creating trouble in Syria, not the other demonstrators.
Those
movements are spontaneous. Why not in 30, 40, 50 years before, and now all of a sudden in so many countries? For me, the technique, if I were them, it's very easy. A number of $1 million, not too many, you know, in the hands of several manipulators in these countries, you know, it's enough to put a number of 30, 40 people together who know how to work it.
There are people who are experts in this matter. The same goes for the Syrian crisis. We know very well that it's not Syrian people who want freedom. They are organized groups that have received financial and military support and are equipped with complex and advanced communication devices that help them carry out their missions.
Avec des moyens de communication très sophistiqués. Qui leur permettent de mener leurs actions.
Con i soldi americani ed europei si sta armando.
They are arming the Syrian anti-government opposition forces with the US and Europe's money in order to fan the flame of civil war. The rebel forces are armed with the help of the US and Europe's money. That money is used to make bombs that explode in Damascus, Syria's capital. Who makes these bombs? They keep blaming the Al-Qaeda. There is no Al-Qaeda. The real Al-Qaeda is in fact the Western secret services.
Si dicono, dice che Al-Qaeda è Al-Qaeda, ma Al-Qaeda non esiste. Al-Qaeda sono i servizi segreti occidentali.
Look at Syria. Everywhere is full of lies that are said about Syria. It's not the way they describe it. They say Assad is a bloodthirsty dictator who has pulled the gun against his own people. That is quite wrong. He's pulled the gun against those who have been killing his people. They are trying to pull him down, so it's a big lie.
La même chose, donc vous voyez, c'est un gros mensonge.
Tra l'altro questo dimostra.
This shows the strength of communication systems in the West. It's a hellish system, capable of launching wars. Because there wouldn't have been any wars in Afghanistan if the information system or the prevailing trend had not existed. This trend was controlled by the CNN, and Al Jazeera is also playing a role in it today. It's a gigantic system that creates frenzy. It's an instrument of war, helping to create conflict and chaos. The preparation for a Syrian war started a year ago. The streamlined media broadcasts false news. They introduce the rebel forces who are fighting Bashar al-Assad as the innocent party. They pretend as if they are ordinary people who are simply seeking freedom and democracy. It's not like that at all. A war is going on there. They are armed with cannons, mortars, RPGs and heavy weapons. Who has given these democracy-seeking rebels weapons to fight Bashar al-Assad?
Donc en Syrie, on assiste à.
The US dislikes the Syrian government and wants its downfall.
The main goal is applying pressure on Iran.
because Iran is one of Syria's allies. Another goal is putting Hezbollah, another Syrian ally, under pressure. We need to see everything as it is. There is no need to cover things up in the name of freedom. We shouldn't forget that as soon as the unrest began, Bashar al-Assad started reforms that were unprecedented in the Middle East. A new constitution. Before I talk about the constitution, let me say that last summer Bashar Assad passed some legislation for the spread of liberalism and promoting the quality of life, prosperity, culture, freedom of the press, etc.
Before the full-fledged war with Libya in 2011, President Obama gave a presidential order. Such an order in the US is in fact the government's official position and of the highest order. This is what it said. The Libyan government is a threat against the US national security.
In Syria, the mass media, the corrupted mass media, want to implement, to put and make in a scenario, a panorama of a repetition of what happened in Libya, the terrible genocide that NATO has made in Libya, you know, by killing, they say, close to 200,000 people in a few months, and raped more than 5,000 women and girls, you know, in Libya. That's horrible because, I mean, interested people and know that it has been the mercenaries of Al-Qaeda brought from several parts, you know, and financed with mainly Saudi Arabian money and with the help and the implementation and the assistance of parts of the CIA, Mossad and MI5 British, who in a, I would say, easy way and with not much money, can raise, have raised, have manipulated what many people believe to be spontaneous movements.
On nous raconte qu'il y a des milliers de personnes qui manifestent à Damas, à Alep.
They say thousands of anti-Assad protesters have gathered on the streets of Damascus and Homs, but this is not true. Al Jazeera is the only news channel broadcasting such news. It only reports the number of people killed in Syria. It doesn't show the people who are sent by Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Turkey to create disorder and chaos in Syria.
Les opposants et qui sont manipulés par le Qatar, l'Arabie Saoudite et également la Turquie. N'oublions pas le rôle néfaste qu'est en train de jouer la Turquie en Syrie.
Bashar Assad, this is what's left of your air force.
These people are financially supported by Qatar, the US, Britain, France, Turkey and Israel. All the countries who destroyed Libya are conducting a similar project in Syria.
Qui ont déjà écrasé la Libye sont en train de faire exactement la même chose en Syrie.
If you're pro Assad, they kill you. If you're anti Assad, they'll kill you. If you're an Alawite, they'll kill you. You can be a Druze, a Kurd, a Sunni, whatever you are. They're going to kill you, and then Al Jazeera will arrive and say, ah, you see, Assad is killing people again and again and again.
The Western media have presented a completely wrong picture of the Middle East and the Arab world. We have seen its examples in Libya and Syria. That's because the Western world sees its information from Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, which are both Qatari news channels.
God, please burn Bashar al-Assad. Plague him with disaster and calamity. Freeze the blood circulating in his veins. I am saying this to the Syrian people. You, people of Syria, you will lose credit if you do not take revenge against them after victory. History will not remember you as truthful people unless you take revenge from these infidels and criminals.
Is it permissible to kill Alawi children and women in response to their actions? Yes, brother. As we have already said about the Alawi clan, we have warned them. Our brothers in Jaish al-Hur, God bless them, have asked their scholars outside the country. They have asked them if it's permissible to attack famous Alawi villages, Az-Zahra Aghlima and Nozha in Homs. Our brothers in Jaish al-Hur have asked scholars if it's permissible to kill Alawi women and children. They know that they are a minority in our country. And all the other clans hate them. All the clans. Everyone wants to get rid of them. It will not be to their benefit to take refuge behind the government.
And I've been in Syria now during the time of the death squads last November. In Syria, they couldn't control any territory in the country. They could only have kind of rebellions in cities very near the border. Idlib near Turkey, Homs near Lebanon, an area near Iraqi Kurdistan, and Dara, I think it is, in the south near Jordan. So these are subversive forces that are brought in. NATO used money from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. They brought in fighters from Dagestan, Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq, the whole world, basically. Any patsy, any terrorist fighter who wanted to make money and enjoy killing could go to Syria, and they simply put these people on rooftops and they told them, start killing.
In Iraq, la stessa cosa.
Hanno detto That's che hanno vinto la guerra. No? We have the same situation in Iraq. They said they won the war.
Se vogliono attaccare la
Siria, but that is not true. Civil war still continues in Iraq. If they want to attack Syria, their goal is not occupying the country. They intend to divide the country into two parts and also create chaos there. Thus, they can control the entire Middle East. They have Qatar. They have Saudi Arabia. They have the UAE, which provides them with oil. They have Jordan, which is their military base. And of course, they have Israel. Therefore, they have dominated the entire region. But they still face problems in two areas, which are unpleasant hurdles for them. The first one is Syria, where the Shia are in power. And the second one is Palestine.
Uno è la Siria, dove gli sciiti sono al governo, secondo stato palestinese.
Il y a une tentative actuelle très.
They are trying to overthrow the regime. They are trying to persuade everyone that it's the democracy-seeking people in Syria who want more freedom, while it is in fact a military plan to destroy the regime.
Plus de liberté en Syrie, alors que il est bien évident que c'est un complot militaire pour renverser le régime.
It's not because of Syria's oil, it's because of its strategic position and because Syria is an important passageway. We shouldn't forget that Syria is the only Arab country in the Middle East that does not recognize the Israeli government.
C'è stata la primavera araba, tra virgolette.
Why these two countries? The Arab Spring happened in Egypt, Tunisia. Why are they fighting against Libya and Syria? I think we should ask ourselves that question, because there is a clear answer for it. It's because Libya and Syria were not part of the NATO's military plan for the Mediterranean region. They were the last two countries surrounding the Mediterranean coast. You start from Morocco and arrive at Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Jordan, Israel and Turkey. These two countries were not part of the NATO's military system and did not cooperate with them. So it was decided to attack the first one. And we saw what happened. So it's time to attack the second one. Thus all the Mediterranean countries will be conquered. If Syria falls, supposing that it falls, NATO will have the absolute control over the entire region.
La NATO avrà il controllo globale di tutta l'area.
Le peuple libyen a été massacré.
The Libyan people were slaughtered with the help of Qatar, Saudi Arabia and Israel. We know very well that it was their doing because Bernard Harry Levy, the great Zionist, was a supporter of Al-Qaeda. Today, the same thing is happening in Syria. When the Americans enter a place, they do it secretly, without anyone noticing them. We only notice them when it's too late, and this has happened a few times.
On ne sait pas tout de suite, mais après, quand on se rend compte, c'est trop tard. Et c'est arrivé plus d'une fois.
Bernard Lewis, who has written a lot of articles and books on Islam and Muslims and can be considered a theorist on the US policies of domination and interference in the region, brought up the term clash of civilizations in his books, including The Roots of Muslim Rage, when he was talking about dividing the Islamic world. This term later on inspired Huntington. According to Lewis's division theory, Syria should be divided into four countries, according to religious and ethnic factors. A Shiite Alawi country along the coast, a Kurdish country in the region of Aleppo, a Sunni country in Damascus, and a Druze country in Golan and Lebanon that includes part of the southern Syria, Jordan, and eastern Lebanon. In 1982, Oded Yinan brought up a theory called Shahak, according to which Israel had to use its power to destabilize its neighbors. The plan is aimed at dividing and separating the Arab and Islamic world, because it believes that smaller countries are weaker and therefore easier to control and dominate. Later on in 1996, the US neocons used this plan to state that it was not Israel that was threatened, it was the US.
This time, it is only stated in Deir el-Zor, the international region, the Turkish region, the Muslim region, and the Arab region belong to the Syrian fighters. The fighters belonging to the Jafar al-Tayya Brigade will have a region of their own.
What is the point of controlling the region? It will be useful for starting another war, a war against Iran.
So that is why they are focusing on Syria. They feel if they can overthrow the regime of Assad in Syria, then that would weaken Iran further and isolate it further.
Parce que les Occidentaux,
Western countries thought they could quickly overthrow Bashar al-Assad and get one step closer to the realization of America's ambitions regarding Iran. But they have come to the conclusion that they cannot overthrow this government, which was an undesirable one for them, and realize that the only option left for them is military interference.
Et ils ont compris que la seule possibilité, c'était une intervention militaire.
From the American point of view, the American government point of view, they see the alliance between Syria and Iran as something that could strengthen Iran. So any country that solidifies itself with Iran gives strength to that opposition. And when people unify around Iran, around its defenses, then that defeats the aggressor's intentions. That defeats the imperialist's action to try to destroy Iran, to try to eventually take its oil.
Encore aujourd'hui, j'espère que ça restera.
Today, they've even come to the conclusion that they can't have military interference in Syria because the great powers that control the world won't allow them to do it. They have realized that after attacking Syria, they will be put in danger of being attacked themselves. China and Russia have firmly stood against any idea of adopting military action in Syria.
La Chine, la Russie ont été très nettes sur l'interdiction d'une intervention militaire.
Those against.
history of Russia and China's behavior in facing such crises, which were sometimes in direct contrast to their general policies, shows that they generally favor the minimum use of their veto power. Nevertheless, when the UN Security Council voted in favor of condemning, enforcing sanctions, and ultimately using the military option against Syria, under the US pressure, Russia and China vetoed it three times. Incident showed the US and its allies that powerful regional countries will not tolerate their aggressions in the name of democracy and human rights anymore.
Today, two members have vetoed a vastly watered-down text that doesn't even mention sanctions. Let me be clear. The United States believes it is past time that this Council assume its responsibilities and impose tough, targeted sanctions and an arms embargo on the Assad regime.
And the US, that was trying its best to repeat Libya's scenario in Syria and achieve a less expensive and simpler victory compared to Iraq and Afghanistan, has failed to obtain a winning card yet.
I think the US has to adapt itself to the new developments, and we'll see what happens in the next months and years. Syria is a turning point in the hostilities between the emerging powers.
La crise syrienne est un point de fixation de beaucoup de ces antagonismes entre justement les puissances émergentes.
Syria supports the resistance. It's the backbone of the resistance, and the resistance cannot sit idly by while its back is being broken.